This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia.
Been torn apart, got so many scratches and scars. Maybe they won't all go away, but they'll fade. Maybe time can mend us together again. It's not what we've done, but how far we've come.
This is KZFR 90.1 in Chico, and you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological.
This afternoon, we'll be talking with Max Porter, who works with the Sunrise Movement. They're conducting a Day of Action for Good Jobs for All tomorrow at City Hall.
In the second half of the show, we'll be talking with Mark Stamen, Vice Chair of the Chico Climate Action Commission, about the sprawl-inducing impacts of the Paradise Sewer Project, which we talked about a little bit last week.
Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Certified Farmers Markets, featuring three markets in Butte County, year-round Wednesday morning in Chico at the North Valley Plaza, Saturday year-round at 3rd and Wall in downtown Chico, and a seasonal market Tuesday mornings in Paradise. The Chico Certified Farmers Markets, connecting farmers and food lovers since 1980. We want to remind you that the opinions expressed on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We'll be back in a moment to talk with Max Porter about the Sunrise Movement's planned Good Jobs for All Day of Action. This is Ecotopia on KZFR.
praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR, exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. With us on the phone now is Max Porter. He's a member of the Sunrise Movement here in Chico. They are sponsoring a national Good Jobs for All Day of Action. They'll be meeting to demand that Doug DeMalfa sign a federal jobs guarantee, and that the City Council of Chico pass the Chico Green New Deal. Welcome, Max. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us about the event? It's tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
When, where, yep, and why?
Sure, yes. So tomorrow, April 7th, Sunrise Chico is holding an event that's open to anyone who wants to join us in front of Chico City Hall at 5:15 p.m. And this is part of a national day of action hosted by the National Sunrise Movement. So there are going to be actions all over the country demanding that members of Congress sign Sunrise's Good Jobs for All pledge. That means that those of us in Chico will be demanding that our representative, Doug DeMalfa, sign this pledge. And at the same time, we'll be right there in front of Chico City Hall. We'll also be using the event to show support for the commitments listed in the Chico Green New Deal, which includes a plank about creating good local green jobs and training a green workforce.
And so, could you describe the purpose of the Good Jobs for All? Say what you mean by good jobs for all. What do you all mean,
yeah,
when you say that?
Sure. So, specifically, Sunrise Movement is asking that President Biden and all members of Congress sign on to this pledge, which is asking for Congress to commit $10 trillion to create at least 15 million good union jobs over the next 10 years in order to transform our society to one that will be just and livable in the long term.
And how will you present this to Doug DeMalfa? Will you expect him to be there tomorrow, or will you go to his office, or what's the plan for making your case directly to Doug DeMalfa?
Sure. Well, so April 7th was chosen because it's a day when Congress is on recess.
Mm-hmm.
And we have reached out to Doug DeMalfa about the pledge. We have not heard anything. But it would be great if he showed up. We decided to have our event in front of Chico City Hall rather than in front of DeMalfa's office here in Chico because it is a more public, visible place where we think we'll get, you know, we'll get the word out more, and where we'll have some more visibility. But we have let LaMalfa know. We hope to hear back one way or the other. You know, his voting record indicates a direction that you might expect. But you know, we want to make him if he's going to say no, we want to make him tell us why he doesn't support millions of good green jobs for the people of Butte County and for the people of his district.
I was wondering, Max, if you see connection between the pledge and Biden's recently announced legislation, $3.1 trillion for infrastructure, which is not just infrastructure, it includes some green and environmentally sensitive actions, and even, he's getting criticism from Republicans for including social concerns in his infrastructure package. Could your pledge be linked to legislation, or might it lead pretty quickly to legislation for good jobs for all?
Yes, absolutely. And this the infrastructure package that Biden has proposed is it's a great first step towards meeting this pledge. And Sunrise applauds it and wants to push further. And you can depending on what district you might see Sunrise Movement organizing in, it could be a protest or a show of support, depending on who that member of Congress is. And in terms of the specifics of the package that's been proposed, the Sunrise Pledge does include, not just the things you might think of, like putting up solar panels, but also things like education, healthcare, elder care, or even rebuilding infrastructure, which, these are all things we'll need in a future carbon neutral economy. And a lot of things that we've been sorely needing for a long time.
I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that relationship, too, about the relationship between good jobs and climate change, climate action. Could you talk a little bit more about how you see those being related? How would you say in your press release or whatever, the jobs guarantee give us a decent shot of avoiding the worst possible climate scenario. So could you link those a little bit more too, please?
Absolutely. Well, at this point, those of us who have been paying attention to the science around climate change know that it's real, and we see its effects all around us. Those of us in Butte County know that all too well. And we also know that the technology we need to transition away from a fossil fuel dominated economy already pretty much exists. The technology is advancing year after year, and it's much easier to scale than it's ever been. But the missing part of that equation is the investment and the labor it will take to make that transition. At the same time, we're in the middle of a crisis of unemployment and underemployment in this country that's really been ongoing since 2008. We never fully recovered from that in all sectors, and it's particularly gotten worse in the midst of the pandemic, of course. Mm-hmm. At the moment, over 18 million people are out of work, and a much larger number of work that's extremely precarious. So on the one hand, there's a lot of people who need good jobs in this economy, and on the other hand, we have a lot of work that needs to be done if we're ever going to shift to a sustainable economy. So, there are studies that show that it may take a workforce of 25 million people to transition our energy grid and avoid the most devastating impacts of climate change. So even that 15 million pledge we're asking for, is a little short of that, and that, that would be a huge lift from the U.S. government. And I can just say on a more personal level, I'm 33 years old, so I'm a bit on the older edge of a millennial, but younger people like myself and younger, millennials of Generation Z, those of us that came up since the 2008 financial crisis, often feel like we're stuck with a future with very few good or meaningful job prospects on the one hand, and a totally uncertain future for the very planet on the other hand. So a bold green jobs plan like this one would provide hope for millions of young people.
Yeah.
There's been some discussion that, at least in terms of energy, solar and wind would essentially pay for itself. That is, the price of solar and wind is going down. One can transition from hardcore manufacturing into making panels and windmills and so forth. Do you have thoughts on that relationship? Is it something that can possibly pay for itself or not be as expensive as some people are concerned?
Yes, I believe that based on what I've read. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not in there doing the R&D, but from my understanding, you know, it's getting more efficient all the time, and especially the more that it scales, I think that it's going to be much cheaper than burning fossil fuels once the infrastructure is in place, and that's, you know, that's the real work that needs to be done.
We interviewed a woman last year who said, what you just said a couple of minutes ago, we have the technology to go all electric without fossil fuel involvement at all. You know, no coal burning power plants or anything like that. And so she was recommending to everybody who's buying appliances, she talked her parents into it, to get all electric appliances. And we did that when we moved here to Chico. And our solar has not quite covered the cost of our all-electric, but we're putting in more panels. And the guy who's doing it for us said the technology has, even in the past year, the technology has improved by leaps and bounds. So everything is cheaper. Everything is more efficient. Everything is almost a... What do you call that? Plug and play. It's much simpler to put together. Yeah. So he encouraged us a lot about moving forward with more solar panels to cover the cost of our power.
Yeah. I mean, like you just said, I mean, the technology keeps advancing, and I really think the real thing that's been missing is just that. That big public push, you know, if this was something that we as a nation decided to really invest in, then we could make, you know, I think, you know, from the early days of a lot of green energy, it might have gotten a reputation as something, you know, you had to be really rich to be able to afford something like a, you know, like a hybrid car or something like that. But, you know, all it takes is a little more investment. And a lot of the technology changes that have already happened to make it something ubiquitous that everybody has access to. And you know, I think that shift is right around the corner, and we just need that investment and that push.
And when you hear that car makers like GM are going to move toward 100% electric cars, and now we have electric trucks and vans coming out, all of that seems really hopeful, but then we need the workforce who can make those huge shifts.
Yeah, and let's make them well-paid union jobs that are dependable and that, you know, can really put people to work, and you know, especially coming out of a crisis like this pandemic, where so many people have been out of work, you know, it would be a great stimulus to the economy.
I wanted to ask about a phrase you just spoke: well-paid and union jobs. I wonder if you could comment a little bit on both. In California now, we're up to a $15 an hour minimum wage, and talk about making that a national minimum wage, which we personally support. But that's not a well-paid job by any means in the current economic climate. What's yours and Sunrise's take on what a well-paid job would look like?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of room for those definitions to still come into focus, but as you said, I mean, $15 an hour, you know, that has been the progressive demand for almost a decade now. And, you know, a decade ago, what $15 an hour would now translate to about $23 an hour today. You know, so $15 an hour is no longer what most of us would consider a, you know, like a family supporting wage. We need to get to 15 nationally first. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about trying to bring back a manufacturing sector that's going to, you know, help us make this huge transition that looks something like the manufacturing sector we had in the mid 20th century. Mm-hmm. You know, something that the original New Deal brought about for us. We're talking about a mobilization similar to the mobilization we saw in advance of World War II. You know, that created millions of good paying union jobs that you know, created the robust, you know, mid 20th century middle class that so many people you know, like to wax nostalgic about, but it's going to take investment.
Right.
And so, what role do the unions play on all this? Mr. Biden is on your side, of course, mm-hmm. but unions have been in serious decline in this country. There's a mm-hmm. lot of anti-union sentiment. So I guess part of my question is, would unionization be essential to those well-paying jobs? Is there a possibility, for example, that industry might jack up the wage scale?
Go ahead. I think that is that's not necessarily something that is specifically outlined in the Sunrise Movement's pledge, but it is something the Sunrise Movement is very in support of. You know, supportive of the you may be aware of the PRO Act that is has already passed the House, and you know, hopefully will come up for a vote in the Senate sometime this year. But that would be, you know, the biggest expansion of union, you know, of union rights since the 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, basically undoing a lot of right to work laws around the country and making it much easier to unionize. And of course, you know, a lot of us are watching with eager anticipation what happens in Bessemer, Alabama, at the Amazon plant there, where they just voted on a union. Yeah. But we're still waiting to see those results. So these things are all interconnected. And you know, definitely if the jobs that we want to see come out of something like this good jobs for all pledge, you know, we don't want them to be precarious part-time, you know, 1099 jobs like we've gotten used to in the gig economy. We want them to be mm-hmm. secure jobs that can you know, really help rebuild an American middle class.
Nice. All sounds really good. So remind us of the details for tomorrow. And also tell us what's going to be happening at the event tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah. So once again, tomorrow, April 7th at 5:15 p.m., we'll be meeting in front of Chico City Hall to demand that Doug LaMalfa sign the Sunrise Movement's Good Jobs for All pledge. We're going to have a lot of speakers from, you know, different segments of the community. We'll even have Alex Brown there to speak, who co-authored the Chico Green New Deal. Mm-hmm. And there'll be the speakers. There'll be, you know, some chanting, some singing. We'll just be getting to know one another, socially distanced, of course, with our masks on. But it'll be a really good time and a way to show support for, you know, what's really, you know, one of the most important battles for our future that we're engaged in right now. And, you know, as you mentioned, with some of the developments happening in the Biden administration, you know, there are already some very positive steps being taken, and we just want to make sure that we're giving a healthy boost from the grassroots.
And can the pledge be accessed online if people would like to read the whole document?
Yes, you can just go to sunrisemovement.org.
Okay.
Find it there.
Okay, thank you so much. Our guest has been Max Porter. He's with the Sunrise Movement, and I hope you get a great turnout for your day of action. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the details. So this is Max Porter of the Sunrise Movement, and you're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
Stand up and walk out on me. Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you?
You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Last week, we talked with Mark Maddox and Katie Simmons about the Paradise Recovery Project, including the plans to create the Paradise Sewer Project that would install an 18-mile-long pipe running from Paradise through Butte County land to Chico's water pollution control plant. This $180 million project looks to design and construct the pipe that would flow from the town alongside the Skyway Corridor and then eventually connect with the Chico Wastewater Facility and from there into the Sacramento River.
With us on the phone now is one of our most admired Ecotopians, Mark Stamen. Mark is the vice chair of the Chico Climate Action Commission, a longtime member of that group and former chair, and he's here tonight to talk with us about some of the climate change implications of the Paradise Sewer Project. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Susan. How you all doing there?
I'm going to make sure I get you loud enough here. We're good here all by ourselves in the studio because they don't let people come in anymore. I'm hoping that changes pretty soon.
Yeah.
So how does the Paradise Sewer Project have implications for the climate action plan or for Butte County? And what are your concerns about the Paradise Sewer Project and its impact?
Well, I think the primary concern is that both the sewer pipe and the water pipe, the other pipe that's planning on going down, are really sprawl-inducing infrastructure. One of my advisors once told me when I was in grad school that the greatest social engineering out there is a road, right? Or in this case, a pipe, because it really dictates where development's going to incur. And development has really been limited on the Skyway from Paradise to Chico in that, you know, well-traveled area because there's no infrastructure because of that. It's really hard. There's lack of water. They don't have sewer. Septic is really difficult in a lot of those rocky regions. But now, all of a sudden, these pipes are going to remove that barrier. And so the real concern is it's just going to induce a continuous strip of housing and development all the way from Chico up to Paradise along the Skyway. And that's my biggest concern. Because right now, from a climate perspective, the county is updating its climate action plan. The city's doing it. The county's doing it. Everyone's kind of doing it after 2020. 2020 was the legislative date, target date. And now that we've got a new target date of 2030 and a new target, everyone's got to come up with a new plan. And so the county is doing theirs, and they did a greenhouse gas inventory, and you know they found that 50% of the greenhouse gases that Butte County is responsible for emitting really come from agriculture, and that agricultural practices. But the good thing about that is that those agricultural practices can change, and unlike almost any other industry, agriculture can actually go negative emissions in some senses because of their ability to sequester. But a road, another 25% of this greenhouse gases in from the county comes from transportation.
Right.
And that's a lot harder to change, especially if the houses are spread all over the county this way. And so I think it's really going to be a difficult thing to come up, and I'm hoping that the county's climate action plan considers that, is this idea of outside sprawl along these new corridors of infrastructure.
And I think in the general plan, I'm sorry, Steve, I interrupted him. Did you?
I just wanted to insert briefly, we talked with Mark about this, Mark Maddox, that the sewer project and the intertie water project are actually separate water projects on different timetables, but both would result in pipes running down the Skyway a minimum of 15 to 30 feet apart, and they would have the effect that Mark Stamen, you're talking about, of making it easier for people to build houses along the Skyway.
Yeah, no, I listened to your interview last week. I try to listen every week, and it was a really good interview. And I thought that you know those aspects about it were clear. I mean, we're not talking about they're two different projects, two different timelines, two different things, but the same effect.
Yes.
They are sprawl inducing, and it's even worse. If it was only one or the other, you would have to figure out, okay, if I get water, but I can't get rid of it, I can't build. And if I can't get water, but can get rid of it, I can't build. But if I can get water and get rid of it, I mean, now
perfect.
That really then just opens up a whole can of worms. And we're starting to see all kinds of crazy legislative efforts to bypass any kind of existing rules and regulations.
Right.
So I can't see anything that's going to keep that from happening once the pipe is built.
Andrew Coolidge said, it was in the CNR article that you were also quoted in, that if it had any negative impacts in terms of environment or in terms of one other thing, that Chico wouldn't go forward with it. What confidence do you have that the city council would? I mean, there are several things that bother me about this, and one of them is the price tag. But if what confidence do you have that the city council will pay attention to those environmental impacts?
Well, I don't have a lot of confidence because those impacts aren't being tabulated, as far as I know. I mean, that's not one of the things that they're looking at.
Right.
Right? Is what's going to be the increase in transportation? I mean, to do that, you need a whole study of transportation planning, and that's what the general plan's about. And the general plan has been really clear. Don't build outside of the existing urban cores.
This is,
now all of a sudden in this disaster capitalism that we're facing here, all kinds of crazy ideas are coming forward. And so putting that pipe there, it's really hard to imagine that it's not going to be tapped into and it's not going to be used by other projects.
That's right. I was going to say that about the general plan. In my reading of the general plan, infill and density are the priority, and that urban sprawl is definitely not a priority. And with the state's new emphasis on climate action and trying to limit VMIs, vehicle miles traveled, to encourage all of that kind of infill structure so that we don't have the kind of wooey conflict too with the wildland urban interface. And this seems to fly in the face of all of that, all of the things that I'm reading, that the direction the state is taking, the general plan, and now the housing element of the general plan is being updated. And we had one community, they had one community meeting. And at the community meeting, the only thing that we were allowed to give input on was affordable housing. And I just really felt like when talking about the housing element update, we need to talk about the environment, because it's building more houses in Chico is going to have a huge impact on climate. And so talking about the environmental impacts of housing seemed to me to be crucial, and I'm feeling like we're kind of blocked off from some of these conversations.
I agree, and I guess a shining example of all of this is Tuscan Ridge.
Yes.
In which they slipped through all kinds of changes in the zoning and the it was, I'm trying to remember, I apologize, I can't remember the it's not design build, but it was another one of those terms where,
yes, I know what you mean.
Right, on the fly.
You know, but the design changes, they have the ability to change it. And all of a sudden it went from a couple hundred houses to almost 1,000 houses and kind of sailed through the county at the staff level because, you know, it's seen as an emergency. And this is what the legislature is pushing for. So, you know, I you know, that's not the last emergency we're going to have in Butte County. And so that just really makes it, you know, makes me nervous when they put something like that in. And that was the first thing I thought about, is that, you know, that's just going to make it so much easier to build up and down the skyway. So
the other thing I was wondering about, and wonder if you thought about this, or I'm sure you've thought about it, but BCAG has really, the Butte County group that's concerned about transportation has been concerned about vehicle miles traveled and about the problems with urban sprawl. And I'm wondering if BCAG will be brought into this conversation about the pipeline and the potential for creating sprawl. And I haven't heard anything of that either. So,
yeah, I don't think so. It seems like they've just decided that this is the best way to move forward, and that's what they're doing. And, you know, that's really sad, because, you know, we have to recover, but we have to recover differently.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit more? How to build back differently, what you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I was listening last week to the discussions that they had. And, you know, they kept referencing plans that were developed last century.
Yes.
And the need to bring them forward. You know, if it was in the year 2000, if you think back to the year 2000, people would laugh if you were relying on plans from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems strange that somehow in 2021 it's okay to use a plan from the 1970s, which is, you know, over 50 years ago. We're going to have to do something different. Here's an interesting fact for you to share with your listeners.
Thank you.
They recently figured out that over 50% of the greenhouse gases ever emitted have been, you know, by humans, mm-hmm, over time, have been emitted since the debut of the TV show Seinfeld.
What?
And for those viewers that aren't hip to this, that's 1989.
Okay, good.
85% of the greenhouse gases ever emitted have been emitted since the end of World War II, which is 1945, right? This isn't a problem of the 18th century industrialization. I mean, this is clearly a problem of the energy-intensive lifestyles we began promoting in the 70s and 80s, and the very time that all of these development plans are put forward. And so, you know, when they start coming up with, you know, hey, we're going to go back to this plan, we're going to go do this, and, you know, it's time to quote Albert Einstein, right?
Yeah.
We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking that's used to create them.
Right.
I mean, we have to come up with a different way to power our houses and to move ourselves around. And we can't just rely on these plans that just happen to be there and we can grab them off the shelf in this time of emergency. Because as you're pointing out, what does it have, a tolerable, you know, a wonderful home, if you don't have a habitable planet to put it on?
Right.
And so we're gonna have to change the way we do things. And, you know, we're also gonna have to change what we envision in this area. I mean, some of these houses that they're talking about are huge, right?
Crazy.
And,
just crazy, you know, huge.
We're gonna have to have smaller homes, and we're gonna have to move around less. I mean, we literally need to reduce our vehicle miles travel by just traveling around. It's been fun, and you know, over COVID here, my partner Terry has been watching cooking shows from around the world as their kind of COVID hobby, and so I've been watching them with her. And
I hope
it's
she's
really
cooking
interesting
those things,
to right? see the homes and the kitchens around the
yes.
world.
Yes.
And I can't help but notice how energy intensive our cooking and our whole lifestyle is, for that matter. I do the ecological footprint exercise with my students, and they do it all the time. And you know, every time I do it, I'm environmental everything. I'm the green guy. You introduced me wonderfully. You know, I still use more than two planets if I do that, right? But you go ahead, and one of the things you can do that's neat with that is you can change the inputs, and you can see that how it affects your footprint. For example, the typical American diet takes about 4.6 acres, but a vegetarian diet only takes about 2.5 acres. And a vegan diet takes even a less acre, right? So, you know, changing your diet does change things. But what's really fascinating for me is that one of these platforms allows you to change countries.
Interesting.
And what I do is I go ahead and I type in the same size house, the same travel options, the same diet, the same everything I'm doing that first time for 2.5 planets, and I change the country to India, and I come away needing only a planet to supply my needs. It's not living in a house that's killing the planet. It's not moving around that's changing the climate, right? We've been doing that for millennia. Rather, it's the way that we are doing it in the late 20th century and that we're still doing this century, right? I mean, Butte County residents are going to need to do things differently if we want our descendants to be here in the 22nd century. And by the way, as you know, kids born today are going to be there. Right? So this is the idea that we can't just keep blindly going on following these paths that we've been going down because it's going to get us to the place that we don't want to be. So it really is the need to kind of think differently about this. And I just don't see any different thinking
people
rebuilding this stuff.
I have a question for you, Mark Stamen and Susan Schutte, who's following this very closely through her organization. If the county were to ban the building of those McMansions along the Skyway, would you still be opposed to the water project and the sewer project?
The difficulty is that we've seen the county's unable to keep its promises, right? You know, we actually, it's outside the general plan to do it, and they did it.
Okay.
It already is illegal, and they're doing it anyway. So it, that's the difficult, and I'm talking specifically about Chester Bridge. So, you know, there's an article in the News and Review about these secret meetings between staff of the different agencies. We're not even, this is even in front of the government anymore. You know, so that, you know, we promise with our scouts honor not to do it really doesn't hold water.
No, it doesn't.
County lately.
Right.
So, you know, you know, that's my biggest issue of this. You know, the other aspect of it, there's others, but I can't really understand why Paradise is going to ship all of its water down to the Sacramento River when it doesn't have enough water to begin with. You know, they keep calling it, you know, it's technically called, or euphemistically called a poop pipe, but most of it's the water is the flush, right? And all of that water. So it's just, there's no new thinking going on, and young people deserve new thinking. They don't deserve to just continue on with the 20th century failings that we've had. And so, I mean, I really enjoyed your interview with Sunrise. That was just great.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. I wanted to say something about, I'm working with Smart Growth Advocates, and we are all about density and infill, and talking about the areas within Chico that are developable and without gentrifying. I mean, one of the things that I get really concerned about is when you develop, we're talking about Park Avenue as a very developable section, that and Fair Street. And there are some things that could stay, but there are a lot of things that could probably go. But no developers are interested in that. Developers are interested in Valley's Edge and Stonegate, in which they can build houses that will attract people from Southern California and make a whole bunch of money, even though that's not the housing that we need for the people who live here right now. And so I think you're right. What you would get on the Skyway is more McMansions. And what we need is housing for the people who already live and work here. And it's not those, you know, 3 to 4 to 5,000 square feet houses. It's first of all multiple family housing and then small housing. And I was going to say one more thing about that that was really important, that really intrigues me. And you know, with mixed-use housing, too, so you can form neighborhoods and communities so that people don't have to travel all the way across town to go to the grocery store. I mean, Park Avenue has no food. There's no food, like, near Barber and, I mean, no easy grocery stores in that neighborhood. I guess you go over the expressway, right, to get food. Anyway.
The co-op.
The co-op is pretty close, right. It's the closest thing to the neighborhoods near Park Avenue. So what's your vision? I mean, we have this vision, Smart Growth Advocates, of infill that's mixed-use housing, and I would like to see inclusionary housing. I just see people fighting tooth and nail about inclusionary housing. They just don't want it. What are some of your visions?
Well, I think they're all the same vision. And compact urban form is the way that we're going to have to rebuild. We need to build housing that both the planet and the people can afford.
Yes.
Right? And we're getting neither right now.
Right.
And so it's those very things of thinking about a community. If housing is the most important thing we need right now, why are we leaving it to a market and a bunch of greedy people to do it? And so I think that's one of the biggest issues that you allude to, is that, you know, the people who are doing this don't want to do it. Well, we need different people then.
Right.
And, you know, part of that, you know, workforce development that Max was talking about is people who can think differently about this.
Right.
I want to tease you slightly. You know, you wanted to put more solar panels on, but you realize now they have solar shingle.
Yeah, so we're going to get our roof replaced, so we might
panels.
Do it that way. Yeah.
Just shingle the whole house in solar. And they have solar film. You can put it on a wall or a window. Now,
right.
The house should not be connected to a grid. The house should power itself.
Yes.
Right? You know, we need to think beyond the way that, you know, just keep plugging into these big, large industrial operations. I mean, that idea of regional wastewater treatment is because it's easy for the planners to do. It's not because it's the best thing to do.
That's right.
And, you know, these large regional things, you're seeing that's the edge, if there was a vision, I guess, is decentralization.
Right.
Is to not be hooking up to these large things, but to do it ourselves. You know, one of the big workforce developments to kind of connect to the Sunrise one is that, you know, and connect all of these things together to address climate change, Butte County and the city of Chico have formed a community choice aggregation.
Yes.
They're going to have their own power company.
Yes.
And one of, I think, the best things they did right off the bat was they decided to prioritize local power.
Yes.
I guess I've never been there. There's a couple of small hydro plants up on the Feather that are operational. They aren't PG&E, and they sell that. They're going to buy that power. But we could then start installing our own power grid in here. We could start installing our own solar farm down south of town. One of the neat things I think Butte County's already done is that they've done a solar overlay zone. They've identified everywhere in the county that would be good for a large-scale solar array to go, and that plan's out there. And we could build it local, we could hire local, and then we can have that local money keep staying locally. I mean, that's what I mean. We need to think about doing it differently. But unfortunately, the people who are doing it right now are doing it the way their dad did it, right?
And they have full support of Nielsen and LaMalfa and Gallagher. And they'll get
three non-visionary people.
Exactly
right.
Right.
There's no difference in any of that stuff.
Right. And you know, I hate to be... I don't trust their motives. I don't trust the motives for why they want this to happen. I think, you know, Gallagher wants more people for Chico so that he has a larger base. So I'm not happy with the way the support for that project is coming in, the way the financial support for that project
is
coming in.
I think that it's pretty obvious in the last few elections, the development community up and down the state has been pouring a lot of money into places like this because they don't want to see the very changes that we need.
That's right.
And so I think in some senses their campaign donations of record amounts is really just a reflection of our record power in getting this stuff changed. I'm confident that the citizens of Chico and Butte County are going to demand action on climate change, and if their elected officials don't give them, then they won't be the elected officials much longer.
I'm hoping.
Climate change is one of these things that we don't have time to mess around anymore.
That's right.
And my children and my grandchildren's future is too important to be playing games the way that we've been playing it.
Yeah.
So my sense is that this, you know, so all your listeners, contact your local representatives, tell them you want action on climate change. Both the city and the county are putting together plans. The city's plan will come up in August. The county's going to be at the end of the year. Be looking for them and make sure that they sign that bottom line, because our future depends on it.
Thank you, Mark. That was great. Do you have anything you want to add? Because that peroration was like a perfect wind-up. But if you have something you want to add, I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. I guess I would add this last thing, is that a lot of people always ask me, what's the most important thing I can do about climate change? And I tell them the most important thing you can do as an individual is stop acting like an individual. Get involved with Sunrise, get involved with Smart Growth Advocates, engage in this issue, because our children are counting on us.
Right. Awesome. Great. Our guest has been Dr. Mark Stamen. He's a Chico State professor and vice chair of the Chico Climate Action Plan, and an inspiration to many, many of his students. And we thank you for that, too, and thanks for talking with us.
Oh, you forgot to add, I'm a huge fan of Ecotopia.
Oh, I didn't add that, but thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love makes the world go round. Love makes the world go round. Somebody soon will love you. If no one loves you now, high in some silent sky, love sings a silver song, making the earth whirl softly. Love makes the world go round.
You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR FM 90.1 Chico. We want to give you a few upcoming events at 6 o'clock tonight. Bobby North will be here with North State Bobby Tryon will be here with North State Give and Take. And she'll be talking with representatives of the Boys and Girls Club. Then on Thursday, the Aqua Alliance Book Club has its second meeting. They're discussing The Dreamt Land by Mark Erics. It's about the growth of agriculture in mostly Southern California, the abuse of the aquifer, draining the aquifer, the building of the canal system. It's a fascinating and highly readable book. And even if you haven't read the book, you can join Kathy Faith and others. If you want to send us an email, ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com, we'll send you the link to that 3:30 discussion of The Dreamt Land. Then on Thursday, also April 8th, from 6 to 7 p.m., Gail Kimble will be on the air. We ask Dr. Gail. She'll be interviewing a trans couple, Atticus and Sebastian, asking them about gender roles and their marriage. And then we also want to tell you about Saturday, April 24th, from 1 to 5 p.m., there will be a Change Agent Summit. This is a virtual gathering on Zoom, sponsored by, among others, the Butte College Associated Students. They're inviting student leaders, organization volunteers, local community members to join them for a half-day summit to gain wisdom, skills, motivation, and inspiration from Butte County community organizers. The event will feature just a few of the many important issues in Butte County and amazing change agents working to create positive change. So it's a chance to sharpen your past, your skills, re-engage your passions. Pre-registration is required. To do that, go to Butte College Associated Students. I also want to tell you, I've been puzzled about the fence around City Plaza, and I wondered if there were anything nefarious going on there. It's a temporary fence. It is not designed to keep anybody out. The purpose I found, discovered from the Parks Department, the concrete in City Plaza around the fountain is aging. The infrastructure is decaying. There will be a six-week project to redo the City Plaza concrete.
They better get that done before the heat of summer, because we need that fountain.
We need that fountain.
Okay.
Okay.
You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico. Contact us at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Give us some ideas. Respond to shows. Ask questions. And to listen to old shows and check our lists of resources, you can go to our website, ecotopiakzfr.com. And we now have a podcast. You can find us any place where you get your podcasts. So you can listen to any shows within the last, I don't know,
when we started. 6 months at this point.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening. And we will be with you next week with Caitlin Dalby as the new director or the new manager of the Butte Environmental Council, and she'll come to tell us what's up for the spring and summer. So join us next week. Thank you.
You are the new day. If you can but prove to me you are the new day, send the sun in time for dawn, let the birds all hail the morning, love of life will urge me say, you are. Knowing we must bear thoughts occur that this night might stay yesterday. Thoughts that we as humans swore could slow words and end it all lie around me.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
Welcome to North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and this show is about nonprofits here in our region in Northern California. Today I'm going to interview Alex Beener from the Boys and Girls Club here in Chico, and I'd like to welcome Alex. Hi.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me today.
Sure, sure. We've been looking forward to this, you and I have.
We have, yeah. Lost some sleep this weekend, you know.
Did you? Thinking about it. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Good way.
I like to let people begin themselves.